Welcome to the sermon podcast of Faith Lutheran Church in Oregon, Wisconsin, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ crucified and the promises of God that our faith clings to. For more information, visit us online at faithlutheranoregon.com.
Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. What are they afraid of? Exactly. If it was death, I don't know if they'd still be in Jerusalem. You know, by this time, the women had already come and told them, probably at Bethany, where they were gathered, that Jesus had risen, and to go to Galilee where you will see him as he told you. But what do? They run into Jerusalem and lock the doors behind them. You know, it's amazing how much fear is completely irrational. We spend a lot of time convincing ourselves of things that are not real and not believing what actually is real. You know, most of the time, that's what fear is. You know, we have the fear of looking stupid. We have the fear of being shamed, the fear of being rejected by our peers, by our family, the fear of letting things go, the fear of being disappointed. But these fears are hardly ever rational because our minds are corrupt. It's one of the reasons that we confess that I cannot, by my own reason, believe in Jesus Christ. That's the whole deal with Thomas. He won't believe until he sees, until in his rational mind he has, or in his irrational mind he has rational proof. But the other 10 suffer with the exact same problem. They have internalized so much that it actually prevents them from seeing reality as it actually is. The fear that the disciples have is so much more than the fear of the same death awaiting them as happened to Jesus. Their fear is not so much physical, but psychological. They think they already look stupid for following a dead man, and now their foolishness, they think, is going to be on full display in front of everyone else. They'll be shamed in front of everyone they know and love. So they lock the doors. They don't want to talk to anybody. You know, the fear of death is actually lower down on the list of fears for most people. The fear of being blind is apparently ahead of the fear of death. People would rather die than be blind. The number one fear is apparently public speaking. If you look at the sad statistics of suicide, you know, it's rarely the avoidance of physical pain that leads people to it. Rather, it's usually the fear of being shamed or social pressure, right? These things in our mind. Just this weekend, a 28-year-old Dutch woman made international news because she plans to be euthanized or to have an assisted suicide, which is legal there, sadly. Now, her body is otherwise completely healthy, but she suffers with disorders of her mind with some depression. And she fears living with that more than she fears death. And all this proves just how irrational and corrupt our minds are. We are so afraid of what other people think of us, just like the ten disciples. We are so afraid of what we think of ourselves, how we see ourselves. You know, we don't just need to be saved from death. Resurrection does that. We need to be saved from our minds. We need our minds restored. It's into this context that Jesus comes. The door is locked, but Jesus goes right through it. And no, it's not that Jesus is a ghost. Luke's gospel actually records Jesus asking for some fish to eat to prove it. No, it's actually that Jesus is so real that the door is like a vapor, and he goes right through it. Jesus is the most real thing in that room. And he's going to ordain something to solve our psychological problems of internalizing everything and projecting fear so that we can't actually see reality. Jesus wants us to see, know, and believe what's actually real and true. The first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." And then he shows him his hands and his side. And then Jesus says to them again, "Peace be with you." But then he does something really interesting. He ordains them to do something. He says, "Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them. And then he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive the sins of people, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus here has instituted confession and absolution. And he has ordained that preachers, those who are sent, those who are called, absolve the sins of the penitent. Confession and absolution is the answer to psychological issues. The etymology of that word, by the way, doesn't have to do with the mind, but with the spirit, the psyche, the soul. But to be clear, secular psychologists, counselors, do have things to say and do for the mind. Physicians likewise have things to say and do for the body. But the things that we fear are not merely a mind issue, nor are our minds merely a mass of physical chemicals. We are more than minds and bodies. We are souls. Fear is a spiritual issue. Ultimately, fear left unchecked becomes unbelief because we are led to distrust the providence of God in whatever situation. The gift of absolution, which Jesus establishes in this context, is the answer. It's the antidote to fear and mental anguish. It almost seems like now more than ever before, people are dealing with all sorts of mental anguish, loneliness, anxiety, depression. Jesus gives us the spiritual solution to these things on Easter Sunday in the form of absolution. So, are you worried about the future? What fears do you have? Do you care how other people think of you? Do you have an opinion of yourself? Well, let's dig a little deeper. What's the source of these things? Why might I be unhappy with myself? Why would other people have a negative opinion of me? Well, ultimately, it's because of my sin. So let's fix that. Let's absolve it. Lutherans have always offered something called private confession and absolution. It's in our catechism. And you should make use of this. One, because it's in the Bible, and there's not too many things that Jesus institutes and tells us to do, but going to confession is actually one of those things Jesus tells us to do. Two, because the purpose is exactly what Jesus said, so that peace may be with you. That's exactly why you have a pastor, why you don't just listen on the radio or watch on TV, but why you actually have a physical pastor. To make sure that that peace is individually proclaimed to you. So, I'm available for this. There's a note in the bulletin every week in the back of the news and notes that I'm available for this. You can schedule a time very easily on the homepage of our website or just send me a text. If you want to see the rite itself, it's in the hymnary and it's also in the back of the catechism. It's not something to be afraid of. But here again, the fear of private confession and absolution is irrational. Ironically, we Lutherans tend to be irrationally afraid of confessing our sins to the pastor. You know, we think that it's something that other people do, right? It's something that other churches do, or they think that they'll be judged by them, by their pastor negatively, that their pastor will think negatively of them, or whatever. Well, it's not what you think it is. I already know about your sins, because I already know about mine. And you know about mine. So you and your sins will not shock me nor surprise me. And actually, your sins are not even that interesting. Ironically, again, we tend to pride ourselves in our sins. Sorry if that caused you offense when I tell you that your sins are not that interesting. Now, I care that you're hurting, of course, but I don't even usually remember sins confessed to me. Even if I did, I should be removed from my office as pastor if I divulge them. And above all, they don't make me judge you because, well, in fact, a person who is sorry for their sins is the one who is judged as righteous. And the worst sins are actually those sins that hold us like vices, the sins of habit that we just fall into and they're so hard to kick. So to go to a confessor and say, you know, I know I confessed this sin last time, but I'm still struggling with this. I cave so easily, I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm sorry, and I want to do better. For him to say, you're forgiven, is a marvelous thing. It's a freeing thing. Because the problem with most mental anguish and fear is that you are turned inside yourself. You have this loop of negative thinking or self-judgment. And so the answer to it is something that comes from the outside, not your negative talk, not your judgments, not your fears, but your pastor speaking to you God's words in a way that's audible, not just in your mind or in your head, but spoken to you out loud in the real world with sound waves bouncing through the air to make your eardrums resonate with the life-giving word of forgiveness. Like the dry bones coming back to life when they are breathed on. So it is when God's Spirit is breathed into you by your pastor or confessor through the words of forgiveness. Jesus breathed on his disciples and instituted holy confession and absolution in the context of psychological fear. It's the answer to my subjective fears because absolution is, well, it's absolute. It has this absolute objective nature to it. It is outside of me. It's real. Like Jesus himself in that room being the most real thing, the absolution proclaimed to me is more real than any fear I may have. And so how freeing it is then to wake up each morning and have these fears and anxieties spoken to and absolved, and for my irrational mind to be told what is actually real. Jesus died. Jesus rose. And Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. They are. Your sins are forgiven. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore.